Everyone. Amen. Lovely to see you in the house of the Lord once again this evening. We welcome each and every one, and we do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this evening. As well, we do welcome those that are joining online, and wherever you are, we do pray that the Lord's blessing will be with you, and his presence will even be there with you in your homes. The hymn 204 is our first item of praise this evening. Let us sing of his love once again. And let's stand, please, together as we seek the Lord in prayer. Let's unite our hearts in prayer together, please. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow, O God, before thee this night with great rejoicing even in our hearts, We do rejoice, O God, this night that we are justified in the blood of Christ. We do rejoice this night that we who were once the enemies of God have now been adopted into the family of God. We thank and praise thee for that spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. We thank thee, O God, for all of the privileges and all of the blessings that are ours in and through Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for our Saviour. We do rejoice that he is the great King of Kings, and he is the great Lord of Lords. We do rejoice that he is the sole head and king of the church. We do rejoice that he is our Saviour, and he is our friend. We thank thee and praise thee once again, O God, for this opportunity to come before thee in prayer, and yea, to come into thy house and gather together in this fashion. We thank thee, O God, for how thou hast been with us already this week. We thank thee, O God, for thy presence with us. We thank thee for thy help. We thank thee, O God, for each and every temporal and spiritual blessing that we have received from our Father on high. And Lord, we can say once again, thou art a great God, and thou art greatly to be praised. And O God in heaven, we do rejoice this night for salvation. We do rejoice this night for, O God, our standing in our Saviour. We do rejoice for that union that we have with Christ. We do rejoice in that communion which we have with thee. We do rejoice, O God, that we can come, and yea, we are bidden to come, any time of the day or in any time of the night. We are encouraged to come boldly and to lay our petitions at thy feet. And Father in heaven, we just bow at this time before thee, and we do pray for thy presence. And we do pray, O God, for thy help once again as we open up thy word. And as we study it together, we do pray that it will be that encouragement for thy people, that it will be, O God, that word in season. And even as we come to the place of prayer, that it will encourage us to pray. It will encourage us to lift up our hearts unto thee. And yea, O God, to lift up our voices and to praise our God and our Saviour in heaven. Lord, we thank thee for this church. We thank thee for thy hand being upon it. We thank thee, O God, for each and every family and for each and every individual. We thank thee for how thou hast blessed and how thou hast undertaken. We thank thee, O God, for those souls that have been saved down through the years. We do rejoice that each and every soul that has been saved has been kept by the power of God. We do rejoice in this. We rejoice, O God, that thou art the one who does the keeping, and thou art the one who does the securing of us. And Lord, we have that confidence and we have that faith in thee and in thee alone. And we do rejoice in the gift of faith. Lord, it is not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Faith is a gift, and we give thee all of the praise and the thanks for it. Lord, keep our eyes upon thee, even in the days in which we live, with all of the trials, all of the difficulties that come our way. O Lord, keep our eyes fixed upon the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless us this night. Bless each one that is here in this building. Bless each one who is listening online as well. O God, undertake for them. Meet them at the very point of their needs. Bless them and be unto to them all that they would need. Lord, remember our youth. Remember our children. Remember the elderly. Lord, each and every individual. O Father, we pray for them that thou wilt be near to them and bless them. Come, O God, and be one of our number this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're turning this evening to the Psalms and to Psalm 24. The book of Psalms and the 24th Psalm in this book of Psalms, Psalm 24. And we'll take the time to read all 10 of the verses. Psalm 24, just a simple title of a Psalm of David. And the verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. Amen. And may the Lord once again bless the reading of his infallible truth to each and to every heart. Simply entitled the message this evening, The Blessings of the Christian. The blessings of the Christian. Let's just ask the Lord for help. Father, with thy word open before us, come, O God, we pray. Minister to our hearts, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Be our mouth, our matter, our wisdom even now. And, O Lord, once again we look to thee to speak to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 68 and verse 19, it says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And certainly if we were to take the time to sit down and just even simply, as the hymn says, to count our blessings and to name them one by one, well, surely it would surprise each and every one of us how much the Lord has done for us and how much the Lord continues to do for us. Surely as we would be continuing to count and as we would be going through that list one after another, listing off everything that the Lord does for us, yea, on a daily basis, then we would have to raise our Ebenezers. We would have to say, Great is thy faithfulness, for morning by morning a new mercies I see. Psalm 24 is, of course, a psalm of great glory and really brings to an end that trilogy of psalms that have been so well known down through the years, Psalm 22, 23, and 24. Many have looked upon them as the psalm of the Saviour, the psalm of the Shepherd, and the psalm of the Sovereign. Because, of course, Psalm 22, it deals with the cross. Psalm 23, it deals with the crook. And Psalm 24, it deals with the crown. And so all of those psalms, those three psalms together, they're always brought together and they have that perfect even picture of our Lord and Saviour. Of course, before he can be your Shepherd, he must be your Saviour. Before he can be your King, he must be your Saviour. It's important that that one comes at the beginning. In this particular psalm, Psalm 24, it's widely believed that this psalm was penned by David as the Ark of the Covenant was being returned to Jerusalem. You remember, of course, that it was taken away and then it's being brought back, Second Samuel in the chapter 6. And it was that time of great rejoicing. It was a time of great joy within Israel. It was a time whenever the nation was coming together. And David, as the leader, as the king of the nation, the people were singing, the trumpets were being blown. And in Second Samuel and the chapter 6, it tells us that David danced before the Lord. He was there leading the people. He was showing them, even from the depths of his heart, how much it rejoiced him, how much the glory even of God was before him. And that's what was upon his heart at that time. It is believed that this particular psalm would be sang in parts. The verses 1 and 2 would be the whole crowd together as singing those. The verse 3 would be by a soloist. The verses 4 and 5 would be by the choir. The verse 6 would be by the congregation. The verse 7 and 9 would be by the host. And then the verse 8 and 10 would be the whole multitude, even responding, as it were, to the questions that are being placed in verses 7 and 9. It was a psalm also which was important within the New Testament church. It's recorded that this psalm in particular would be read on Ascension Day, 40 days after a Resurrection Sunday. that the New Testament church would gather together and this psalm would be read, reminding them that the Lord Jesus has ascended up into heaven. That the Son of God who died upon the cross for their sins, he rose the third day, yes, and after those 40 days upon this earth, he then ascended up into glory. And it greatly rejoiced their hearts. And they rejoiced in the exaltation of their Savior. As Ephesians 4 in the verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. As it says in Matthew 25 in the verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And that was something which was so special. That was something that was so important to the church in those days. And our Savior, he's ascended up into glory. He's been received. He's been accepted. He's been enthroned in glory. And one day he's coming back. And the King of glory will come and he will reign forever. And so as we look upon his glory, and as the child of God, we rejoice in the glory of our God. We do not seek that glory for ourselves, but rather we willingly give all of the praise and all of the glory to our Lord and to our Savior. And we join even in the spirit of that heavenly host as it sings even now, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The Lord in his mercy, even upon this earth, for each Christian, he blesses us. He blesses us continually. It's important to remember that even as we go through life. And yes, there are the hard times. Yes, there are the difficult times. But even in the midst of those hard times, the Lord's blessings are ever towards us. The Lord's promises are ever coming true within our lives. And he ever upholds us and he ever keeps us. There are three blessings in particular that I want to draw your attention to as we split this psalm into three this evening. I want you to see the opening two verses, verse 1 and 2, that as a child of God, we enjoy God's goodness in creation. We enjoy God's goodness in creation. As it says in the verse number 1, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Verse 2, he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now out of all of the planets that God created, he chose this planet to bless with life. Out of all of the planets, he chose this planet to bless with substance. He crafted and created all things on this planet for the benefit even of his people. And out of all of mankind, God chose us to be his people. And so there is that connection between the child of God and creation, because here upon this planet that we live, God has blessed it abundantly. And even the child of God, out of all of mankind, God blesses abundantly. And how important it is as God's people that we take heed of the fact, even as we live upon this earth, and as we go about our daily living, that we remember this earth, this world is not ours. We are not the owners of it. We are but the stewards. God owns everything. Everything. Warren Wiersbe, the American commentator that he was, put in his own words, he said, God owns not only the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he owns the Cadillacs in 1,000 garages. And how true that is, the homes are the Lord's. You might say, oh, my name's on the deeds of my house. No, that house is the Lord's. You might say, the tax bill for my car, it comes in my name. No, that car is the Lord's. Everything that we have, everything that we say is ours. And this earth belongs to the Lord. As Exodus 19 in the verse 5 says, all the earth is mine. So that includes all of the engineering feats. We can think of the great inventors down through the years. We can think of the likes of Brunel, who was so important even during the Industrial Revolution with all of the bridges and all of the great feats that he undertook. We can think of the scientific, the medical advancements. We can think of people like Marie Curie and Dr. Fleming, even with the penicillin. And we can attribute all of these different things to these individuals. But in reality, every scientific, every medical advancement, every great engineering feat, they all belong to the Lord. And so it's wonderful, even in these days, that we are, and I have heard the prayers being offered, we're giving thanks to the Lord, even for the help that has been given during this pandemic. The understanding, the ability that has been given to doctors, to nurses, and how to treat individuals and how to care for them. Those scientists that have been working around the clock to even come up with ways of treating this virus, of the different concoctions of drugs that people are able to take when in hospital. And even this, the vaccination that has been ruled out, we give thanks to God for it all. Because everything that is undertaken, the Lord owns it all. He is the King. This is His earth. It was He and He alone who gathered the waters onto their place. It was He and He alone who brought forth the dry land. It is He and He alone who was able to raise the sun in the sky, to give light to rule the day, to have the darkness time for night. It was He who gave the sun, the moon, the stars. He gave it all. He gave the animals, He gave the trees, He gave the food. All of it is His. Matthew Henry writing, he said, He made it Himself, He made it for Himself, so that He is the sole, entire, an absolute owner. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And yet, even as we live upon this earth, every single day we are enabled to enjoy the goodness of His creation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We are to enjoy God's creation. We are to rejoice in it. We are to enjoy the beauty of it even around us. We are to enjoy the sounds and the sights of it. No, there are those occasions when you see those lovely and those wonderful documentaries on the TV that the cameras have been positioned in such ways that they capture the wildlife. Out there in Africa or even down in the depths of the sea, and you see the wonderful creation of God. You see even that understanding, that ability that those animals have been given by the Lord as He guides them, as He instructs them in how to hunt and how to preserve and how to keep their young and how to come together and band together even for protection. It never ceases to amaze me. As you see how those different animals, those different fish and everything, how the Lord has blessed them, how the Lord has given them exactly what they need to survive. And we enjoy that and we give that praise and we give that thanks even unto the Lord. And the fact is, as the children of God, we enjoy it, but yet we do not boast in it. We do not boast in creation as if it is our own. That enjoyment obviously then ought to bring us humility and not pride. You can't boast in what is not yours. Yes, we can look upon it, we can admire it, we can say how beautiful it is, and we give God the thanks and the praise for it. You know, those programs, as you watch them, many of them, if they're on the BBC, are usually narrated by David Attenborough. Certainly he's got a fantastic voice for the role that he does, even in narration. And all of those videos, all of those expeditions that he's done over the years, and everything that he's seen clearly for himself. The literal, he hasn't just seen it behind a TV screen. He has seen it there in the real, in the live place, watching as it actually takes place. And yet he doesn't believe in God. He says there's no such thing as a God. And that's the blindness of sin, isn't it? That God's creation, we look upon it and we admire. We look at the majesty in the creation. We look at how God is blessed and how God undertakes and all of the different characteristics of the animals, of the fish, that enables them to survive in their various climates. And we can see God's fingerprints. We can see God's hand all over it. And yet for the unsaved, they put it down to evolution. to chance. Whenever we are the ones that we enjoy God's creation, and we look to the Lord and we give him all of the praise and all of the thanks. As John the Baptist, during his ministry, he stated, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. See, we don't boast. We're not the owners. We're the tenants. We're living in a land that is not our own. It is the Lord's. And as such, therefore, as the tenants, even within this land, we have that responsibility to care for it, to care for what is around us and to enjoy it. Notice secondly, then, the second part of this psalm is David is writing it. Not only does he enjoy God's goodness in creation, but the verses 3 to 6, he experiences God's grace in redemption. He experiences God's grace in redemption. He says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have the clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And now we come to the central part. Now we come to the greatest blessing of all. Yes, it is a blessing to enjoy God's creation, but my, what a greater blessing it is to experience God's grace. That's the reality for every single child of God. That's the reality for each and every man, woman, boy, and girl that is saved. We have experienced God's grace in our own lives. We have experienced that love of God, that mercy of God even towards us. That we have been washed in that precious blood. That we have been justified before God. We have been changed even in that way, and we continue to be changed. God's view of us has changed. Why? Because now when he looks upon us, he doesn't see us and he doesn't see our sin. He looks upon us and he sees Christ. And so our sins are blotted out forever. And because of that grace of God that has been given to us, we're able to ascend the hill of the Lord. We're able to stand in the holy place. Of course, we can use these verses, and they've been done so many times, especially the verse 3 and the verse 4 in regards to coming to the place of prayer. We speak about those verses as we're coming to the place of prayer, that we're entering into the holy place in heaven. We're coming into that throne room. And we come because of the clean hands and the pure heart. After all, even the psalmist says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And so we come seeking those clean hands and pure hearts, even that we might be able to approach the throne of grace in prayer. But you know, even as I read these verses, I see a wonderful picture of heaven. I see a wonderful picture of the child of God ascending in spirit even into heaven. Whenever their mortal body comes, that death comes upon the mortal body, that it's absent from the body and it's present with the Lord, because we've ascended up into the holy hill of Zion. We're standing in that holy place. Of course, not everyone goes there. Yes, many today will say everyone will get to heaven regardless of your life. But even as it tells us in this verse and in this psalm, it's only the ones with the clean hands and the pure hearts that will ascend into the hill of the Lord. Clean hands, they speak of righteous conduct. Over in Isaiah, the chapter 1, and the verses 15 and 16, it says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. In the pure heart, it speaks of godly character. Matthew 5 and the verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, those that set their affections on things above and not on things in the earth. You think of those times, even whenever individuals have sought to clean their own hands, and they've sought to wash their own hands. You can think of Pontius Pilate. How even there, as the trials of our Lord were taking place, that he brought forth that bowl of water. He sought to wash his hands before the crowd as if he was washing away the responsibility and any connection that he had with that crucifixion. You think as well, even if you go into the literature side of things, William Shakespeare's play Macbeth. After the killing of King Duncan, Lady Macbeth, she was there. And even in the middle of the night, she was waking up with that guilt. And she's rubbing her hands. And every time she rubbed them, she kept seeing spots upon the guilt that was going through her body. And she couldn't get away from it. You see, we cannot wash our own hands. We cannot rinse, as it were, the sin and the guilt off them. They cannot be cleansed with our own righteousness or our own works. We have to come and be washed in that perfect, that precious blood of Christ. We cannot ascend into the hill of the Lord if our hearts are not pure and our hands are not clean. It's only those who have experienced the Lord's grace towards them. It's only those that have had Christ's imputed righteousness even to their account that they can experience that saving grace in their lives. You know, just the other night I was speaking to an individual about those that have passed away, even within our denomination in recent months, mentioning some of the ministers that have passed away. Speaking just briefly about the Reverend Bukes passing just on Sunday. They've ascended the hill of God. They're now standing in his holy place. They've seen their Savior face to face, and now they're telling that story. Saved. Saved by grace. You see, that's the joy for each and every one that is saved. As the verse 5 says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That is the greatest blessing. That is the center of all of the blessings for the Christian. That Christ comes and gives us what we do not have, perfect righteousness. He comes and takes away that which we must not have, our sin and our imperfect righteousness. And even through that continual work of sanctification, he makes us ready to ascend the hill of the Lord. That every single day we die more unto self and unto sin. We live more unto righteousness. That we, whenever the Lord calls us home, we might ascend the hill of the Lord. We might stand in that holy place. We enjoy God's goodness in creation. We experience God's grace and redemption. But then the verses 7 to 10, we exalt God's glory and victory. We exalt God's glory and victory. The verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You know, 5 times in this psalm is the Lord referred to as the King of glory. He isn't simply just another prophet. He isn't just a man above. That's one of my pet hates, is people calling the Lord Jesus the man above. He's not simply a man above. He is the King of glory. He's not just another prophet. He is the chief prophet. And he is the great King of glory. My, isn't it wonderful, even as you read this psalm, he is given his proper title. Who is the King of glory? It is the Lord, strong and mighty. As Daniel 7 and the verse 14 says, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He is the great king. And so that cry even went out as that psalmist is being wrote, and as it would be sang, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, the King of glory will come in. Open the gates, open the doors, As Martin Luther said of this psalm, bidden hearty welcome to the Lord. Child of God, don't be downcast in the Lord's victory. Do not let the heads fall. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up, ye everlasting doors. Yes, as we looked at on Sunday night, the wickedness of the wicked is enough to make our heads fall. The wickedness that is abounding in our land is enough to break our hearts and give us that sadness, that grief. It's enough to cause lamentation. It's enough to get us despondent, but lift up our heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Why? The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, is victorious. He is in control of everything. And surely there's nothing will lift up our heads like that truth. And even as we consider everything that's going on, that we then look up and we realize our King is still upon the throne. Our King is still the King of glory. Our King is still the one that is in control. He is the one that is coming even soon. Oh, nothing will make us fling open the doors and the gates like the coming of the King. The great victor, the great King, the great Lord. You think that whenever Christ ascended up into heaven, he went up through the clouds, there were angels there. Even as the Lord was taken up, the disciples saw the angels. The Lord's taken on up through the clouds in the glory. He's received in the glory. He's received as the victorious one. He's received as the King. He presented himself before his Father. He presented his body. He presented his blood. That was a sacrifice accepted for our sins. And he's seated now at the right hand of the Father. Sit thou at my right hand. Why? Until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And all of heaven resounds to his praise, not to any other. All of heaven is singing today and resounding to the praise and to the honor, to the glory of who? The Lamb who is in the midst. When he returns, he's coming upon a white horse. No Palm Sunday, he entered Jerusalem upon a colt of a donkey. Even there, that state of humiliation was continuing. Wasn't his own. He had to borrow it. He had to go into that next village. That colt tied up, bring it. Never man sat upon it, bring it. And that's how the Lord entered into Jerusalem the first time. He came upon that colt. And yet when he comes again, how's he coming? He's coming upon the white steed. And it won't be all of the palm branches round about. It won't be his own disciples behind him. No, it tells us the whole heavenly host is coming. Every saint of God follows behind their Savior and their King. And my, in that day, the doors and the gates will be flung open. This time he won't weep over Jerusalem as he did. And that entrance in. That tearful mourning even over Jerusalem as he looked upon it. No, it tells us, Zechariah 14 in the verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all of the earth in that day. And in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. When Christ returns, he comes upon that white steed. He comes as king. He comes as ruler. And we as the children of God exalt him. We rejoice in him. We glory in him. He is our Savior. He is our King. And thank God tonight he is our friend. Now, isn't it wonderful to say the King's my friend? Wonderful tonight to say that we know the King himself. We don't just know off the King. That's all we can really say about Queen Elizabeth, isn't it? We know off her. We know what she looks like. We know who her family circle are. We know in terms of what papers will say about her and how she's ruled and how hard working she is. We can read, we can see these things. We know of her. But I personally don't know her. But I can say I know the King of Kings. And I know the Lord of Lords. And I can talk to him at any time. Never too busy with royal business not to listen to one of his subjects. Isn't that a wonderful king we have? Isn't that a glorious king that we have? And even tonight as we now go to prayer, whether we will lift up our heads and yea, lift up our hearts in praise and adoration and exaltation unto our God in heaven, who is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, what joy we have tonight. What worship, what praise is due our Savior, even every single day of our lives. You know, it's wonderful when you consider just bringing it back to creation again. All the birds singing. Every morning you hear the birds singing. Just before term finished, most mornings if it was dry, I usually walked Reuben up to school. Every morning you heard the birds. Remember saying to him one day, "Son, every morning those birds are starting with praise unto the Lord. They sing to their Creator." Oh, what praise is in their hearts, and yet they're not redeemed. We are. And may we exalt them in our prayers, in our praise, and yea, in our lives. May the Lord bless his word to each heart this evening.